Hello there, everybody. This is Jeff Chandler for a special edition of whatever this is, special interview with a member of the core security team. Just a little get together here. Gary Pendergast, who's a member of the WordPress core security team and is a core contributor. We have we could thank him for emoji. He requested a few days ago to have a conversation with me to talk about what's going on with WordPress 4.2.3. And for those who don't know, it was a point release. It was a security fix, had a security fix involved where it fixed a cross-site scripting vulnerability. But shortly, you know, within 8 hours of the release being pushed out with all the automatic updates, there were some plugins that were affected via the changes to the shortcode API, and it screwed up some content on a lot of different websites. Affected at least types and views or two of the major plugins that were affected that I know of off the top of my head. So I thought I'd bring there's been a whole lot of discussion on this post. In fact, it's another one of the, it has over 100 comments on wptavern.com, and a lot of people, mostly plugin developers, were upset about all this because they woke up to an inbox full of angry clients wanting to know why things are broken. So Gary, first of all, thank you very much for reaching out to me to have this conversation. And I hope by the end of this, people have a better understanding through this medium of exactly what happened, what the core team learned, and what sort of precedent, if any, this sets for the future.
Thanks, Jeff. I'd really like to have a chance to just sit down and we'll discuss a bit of behind the scenes of how we came to the decision of making this release, and I think perhaps what we've seen from the feedback of how we can improve the release process in the future.
Well, let's start off at the very beginning. First off, tell people who you are and what your role is with contributing to WordPress.
All right. So my name is Gary. I work full time on WordPress core. I'm a core committer. My main focuses are on performance and database and security type things. A lot of the back end stuff. Occasionally venturing into front end things when, as you mentioned earlier, I want to put emoji in. Those are kind of my main focuses. I work for Automattic, the WordPress.com people, and we've got about 7 or 8 people working on the same team as me. We all contribute full time to the WordPress project.
Awesome. And you are a member of what we call the WordPress core security team or the WordPress security team, right?
That's correct.
And, you know, there's not... I've tried to look for information in terms of who's on this team, what this team does, and we sort of figure out who this team is and what the team does through various posts or maybe through the Make WordPress Security Handbook, the section on reporting security bugs and things of that nature. But who's on this team and what's the team's purpose? And do they only focus on WordPress.org or is it shared responsibilities between .com and .org?
So this is specifically the WordPress.org security team. Which consists of everyone who has commit access to WordPress, of course. If they have commit access, then they really should be aware of any security issues that are going on. We also have members from some of the various security service and security plugins companies within the WordPress world. And we also have a few different people there who've contributed to security patches or have found security issues in the past and who've wanted to continue contributing.
So WordPress 4.2.3, it's a point release, and we've been told over and over again from people who contend that WordPress should not dictate automatic updates. It was added to 3.7, and it's automatically enabled by default, whereas point releases that are pushed out, which usually are either bug fixes or security releases, are automatically updated on people's websites. So why don't you explain what was inside 4.2.3 and what happened, let's say, about 8 hours afterwards when the reports started rolling in that things were breaking?
Okay, so 4.2.3 contained 2 security fixes and about 20 bug fixes for minor bugs within the 4.2 series. But the issue in particular was the one security fix, which changed the shortcode API. So we've known for a while that there was an issue with how shortcodes were parsed, and that if a shortcode was put in, a specially crafted shortcode was entered, then it could cause an XSS, a cross-site scripting vulnerability. But the problem has been is while we've known about the issue, it's also meant that we haven't been able to create a way to fix it without also breaking some shortcode functionality. And that's the primary reason of why it was held off for some time. And then it's at the end of the day, we had to, as I think Andrew Nason said, pull off the Band-Aid at some point. It had to come off. I think it's been mentioned that there was a Make Core post talking about what the changes were, but it was put up about 6 or 8 hours after the release. I think that could have gone up earlier, for example. And I was at the time leading the 4.2.3 release, so that's on my head. Yeah, overall, it was a thing that needed to be fixed, and it needed to be pushed out quickly because it was a severe vulnerability, hence the automatic updates. It's just unfortunate that it broke. I suppose broke is the wrong word. It affected as many sites as it did.
Well, the initial response from especially plugin developers who maybe pushed a shortcode API in ways that it was not meant to be used, I think you can understand why a lot of them were upset because this change was brought upon them without any advance notice. And typically the WordPress team is very good at saying, hey, this is what we're working on. We know some plugins are going to be affected by this, but we're letting you know a week or two ahead of time as to what's going on, the changes, and why we're making them. In this case, it was just, boom, here we are. You know, here's the release. It's a security fix. Sorry, but here's what we did, you know, eight hours later. And why? Obviously, there's a security fix, so the nature of communicating exactly what's going on. I mean, was there – how gray was that line between being able to give advance notice to plugin developers and – compromising, sort of disclosing what that security vulnerability was or is?
I think as soon as the issue is disclosed, disclosed publicly, we assume that a Black Hat attacker could construct the attack, could reconstruct the attack. We don't release the details because we don't want to give them a head start. If we at least have a couple of hours to get as many sites auto-updated as possible, then it makes it a lot easier or a lot harder for an attacker to compromise lots of sites. I think so. Historically, we haven't really defined what the limits of the shortcode API are, and that's the basis of this. And so, plugin developers have pushed the shortcode API much, much further than I think anyone on the core team ever thought it would go. And while on one hand it's really cool to see that kind of ingenuity, on the other hand it causes these kind of security problems where we have to be concerned about this kind of mixing of HTML and short codes which are not HTML but they create HTML, and that's kind of the basis of where that security issue lay.
And it's sort of disappointing how this all went about because it now puts a dent into, I think, some users' minds or trust into the automatic update system because it's not supposed to break anything. Point releases are supposed to be there. You get the email notification and your site runs fine. Everything's cool. But you know, I would imagine that this is going to be known as a bump in the road for the automatic update system, and hopefully, you know, users can get around that or get over it and still maintain trust in the system.
And I certainly hope so. I certainly hope that's the case. It is an anomaly that we had to include a break in backwards compatibility in an auto update. That's not a thing that we usually do.
The way I'm looking at it is what happened here with the shortcode API pretty much was an inevitability. I mean, it was inevitable that it was going to have this kind of effect out there on plugins or ways developers are using the shortcode API. But, you know, I wonder if – because there was some conversation within some of the track tickets based on timestamps or whatever that – all this code, 500 lines of code, or added to a ticket 33 hours before the release, and it's some people thought that it wasn't even reviewed. But I think that was an entirely unrelated ticket to the issue. Is that correct?
That's correct. So, excuse me. What we do to give a little bit of insight into the process is just to make it not completely obvious that we're doing a security release. We'll have a public ticket that we make the commits against. And so this particular ticket was related, but slightly different. But the patch itself was reviewed over and over. I think we had about 50 iterations of that particular patch.
Wow. And again, was this behind the scenes or was this on a public ticket?
So that was behind the scenes.
Right.
Of course, there's very little that's private in the WordPress development world. I think it really comes down to the release video, choosing the name of each release, and security. We always try to keep things as open as possible, but security is kind of one of those things that has to be done behind the scenes and quietly, because we don't know how long a fix is going to take or how severe it's going to be until we can actually investigate it and start building a fix.
And I think a lot of plugin developers were just upset to sort of see the conclusion of why things are breaking is because, well, we included this in core in a shortcode API, and even though we don't support this sort of use case, developers were using shortcodes in that way, and it sort of, when the release post came out, or the make core post, it basically, the message that was sent to plugin developers was, well, you're using WordPress in ways that were not supported, therefore it's sort of your fault that things are broken.
And I apologize for that message. It was the wrong way to put it. It's absolutely the plugin developers were using it in a way that we never envisioned. But I think that we could have done a much better job of communicating to plugin developers that, okay, this is going to break. While it was suggested that we could give a couple of weeks' notice, I don't know that that would have been possible.
Mm-hmm.
But I think at least plugins that are hosted on WordPress.org, we could have maybe reached out to plugin developers who we could find out if some of them used shortcodes in this way. I'm not entirely sure if that would have been possible, but we could have potentially looked through and see if we could detect plugins that use shortcodes like this.
Well, Robert Chapman, who is one of the people, well, he's actually the author of the post on the Make blog about who explained what happened with the fix. I think the team actually scanned plugins in the WordPress plugin directory to see if any of them out there were using codes or shortcodes in a way that, you know, it's not like the team didn't check shortcodes and plugins. They didn't do the check, but I also think that some of the plugins that were affected by this were also hosted on GitHub, and those are sort of out of your control, your hands, in a way that the team can scan for those and test those plugins against this use case.
Yeah, and that's a problem that I don't know that we really have a solution to, that if a plugin isn't hosted on WordPress.org, then it's not necessarily something we can check and quietly reach out to the author.
And some of the plugin developers that were chiming in and sort of agreeing with each other says that there needs to be either more communication, or maybe there needs to be an email list, or there needs to be some sort of bridge between plugin developers and when things like this happen. But again, you know, in history has shown that the WordPress core team has been very good at publishing make blog posts about changes that are in WordPress that are going to affect or possibly break plugins that are out there. I just think in this instance, due to the nature of the security matters involved with the plugin, that, you know, as you said, probably it was not possible. Or I imagine you guys would have warned plugin developers ahead of time, because that seems to be par for the course.
Yeah, and so I don't know that it would have really been possible to warn the wider community ahead of time. as with any security release, we make the WordPress news post the same time as we turn on auto updates, because we assume at that point that the security issue can then become known. We just want to get as many sites updated as possible as quickly as possible. So whether it be auto updates or if someone has auto updates turned off, then they'll see the news post or tweets or Facebook posts or whatever it happens to be, and make sure that their sites are up to date and secure.
Yeah, one of the unfortunate things that happened throughout all this is I saw some posts on the support forum and some of the plugin support forums, actually, of people suggesting that they upload, I think it was shortcodes.php, or there's a certain file from 4.2.2, and that fixed the shortcode issue. But then that also made those sites vulnerable to the security vulnerability that you guys fixed, right?
That's correct. So there were a few suggestions to revert the changes from 4.2.3 back to 4.2.2, or at least revert the shortcodes changes. There's no way that I could responsibly recommend that, because as soon as because your site's then vulnerable. I understand that sometimes you have to make a choice between the site not showing your content correctly or the site being vulnerable. But I think when it's a severe security vulnerability, then the only option is to keep it secure and then work on fixing the content later.
At WordCamp Europe, Matt Mulliweg announced a new position called the Security Czar. And this person, based on his announcement, is sort of acts as the liaison and manages communications and release structures for security vulnerabilities. What role did the Security Czar have in the release of 4.2.3?
So the Security Czar, Nikolai Bajcheski, he's been a longtime contributor to WordPress. So in 4.2.3, then he and I were co-running the release effectively. That's with the aim that for future releases that Nikolai will take on more responsibilities within the process.
Awesome. Okay. And is that just for, it sounded like it was for both Automatic's bounty program and for WordPress.org. I'm not sure if that's correct or if it's just WordPress.
So we also have, within Automatic, we have our own security team working on WordPress.com and various Automatic products. And so they also do the bounty program.
It's sort of amazing to me that now, because of this bump in the road with, it was a point release and some sites were affected by it, I should say, you know, quite a few based on the reports and whatnot, but this whole argument as to whether WordPress should add an option to disable or configure automatic updates. And I, you know, as that continues to be argued, I think it's pretty clear, and it was made clear back in 3.7 when it was added, that, hey, we'll give you some hooks so plugins can give you the option to change that, but for the betterment of the internet as a whole, we're not going to do that. And I think, you know, you can answer from your personal opinion on that issue. Will we ever see an option added to WordPress to configure automatic updates so people could turn them off?
I honestly don't see a situation where we'd add that option. I think there are the plugins, as you mentioned, that can do it. If you don't want to add a plugin, then there's WP config options that you can set. Otherwise, we just have it enabled by default. And while this particular release did have some issues, by and large, the automatic updates and security releases have been very, very smooth. They just roll out and they're done.
So Richard Tape published a great article with his thoughts on what happened with the API changes in 4.2.3. And I think he asked some good questions in terms of, you know, is this a potential precedent that this type of release has set? I mean, what does this mean for, like, the REST API if it's added to core? I mean, could we be looking at a situation where an API change happens in the point release and it could affect who knows how many websites?
I don't know how to answer that kind of hypothetical. It's, yeah. it's that kind of thing is
I mean, I guess it goes back towards there's the WordPress way, and then there are ways to extend beyond the WordPress way. And I wonder if we'll end up in another situation where those who are extending things beyond the WordPress way find out the hard way that it's not a way that's supported by WordPress.
So I think I actually think that the REST API will help to clarify that a little bit, because the idea with the REST API is that the behavior of the API matches the documentation. There isn't really kind of a hidden way of doing things. You have the endpoints, you send a request, you get data back. Or you send an update and it updates the post or whatever it happens to be. It's a very, very standard way of interfacing with your WordPress site.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. The REST API is just a nice standard of communicating and sending data back and forth to WordPress. You don't need to come up with hacky ways to do that.
Exactly. And as I said, it's not really possible to make predictions on such a hypothetical, but I'd be inclined to say that it would be less likely that there would be. We'd have to make a breaking change on the API.
So all in all, it seems to that I think the worst part of the storm is over until the next one rolls in. But all in all, what lessons do you take away and maybe the core team have taken away? I mean, has the core team, I don't want to say behind closed doors, or maybe the security team, have you guys discussed methods or lessons or things that maybe you've already implemented to try and prevent this type of thing from happening again?
Yeah, so there has been a bit of post-mortem focused on some of the internal security processes. And I think one of the takeaways is definitely, for example, the post on the Make blogs should have gone up earlier. It should have been ready to go at the same time as the news post so that everyone was aware of what they needed to fix in their plugins as soon as possible, regardless of whether they were a plugin that we're able to detect, or they were hosted on GitHub or elsewhere.
Yeah, I mean, at the very least, some of the websites that were automatically updated may have been affected. They would have a post to go to or find out why is this potentially broken, or at least the developers would have known to maybe check the Make blogs first, and they would have seen that post and go, oh, and they probably could have pushed out an update a lot sooner than versus, I don't know, 8 hours later when that post was released.
Yeah, so as far as that goes, especially as it turned out, we pushed out this update in early morning US time. So a lot of people were waking up to sort of find their site updated and not really discovering that how the content was displayed had changed until several hours later.
What about some of the ideas that were presented in A, maybe just fixing the security fixes as its own release, or B, pushing out the security fix with 4.3? I mean, we've waited this long. Could you have waited any longer to what do you think it would have made a difference?
So what I think we prefer to do is push out a security release if we have a major security bug like this one, to push it out prior to a major release. It's not really a good idea, I think, to be forcing people to do a major upgrade just to get a security fix. So it really should just be they install a bug fix release, and whether that is a bug fix release just with security fixes, or if it has security fixes and other bug fixes, I don't think that there's a huge difference. There's perhaps a slight procedural difference, but as far as the effect on people, I personally prefer to make it only a single release rather than have one release and then have to do another one a week later for bug fixes.
Yeah, I can only imagine. I mean, remember back in, was it April and May or March and April? Boy, what a time that was for WordPress releases.
Oh, that was good fun, I can tell you. That was also why I was very glad that we changed the release time, because we were doing releases at about 4 or 5 a.m. my time, which probably not the, I'm not a huge fan of doing that several nights in a row.
So I think more of the story is here. Lessons have been learned, and I think the process will improve in the future. And there will be no option added to WordPress that I can see, that you can see, that anyone can see. I mean, there are hooks and plugins out there to that allow people to manage downloads. And I think it was just a hard lesson learned. I mean, you guys, the core team, knew that this was going to happen. Something like this was going to happen. Maybe you didn't realize how many websites in total were going to be affected, but you knew it was might be some. But all in all, I think the next time something like this comes around, the whole process will be smoother, it'll be better, and everyone will be happier because their sites are updated and nothing's broken.
That's the plan, and that's what we do. It's everything's an iteration. We iterate on processes as much as we iterate on code.
So before we wrap it up here, I think we covered the gamut and we covered in depth on the whole issue of 4.2.3. I got a couple of fun questions for you because I put this out on Twitter. I said, "Hey, you know, I'm interviewing Gary Pendergast today. Anybody got anything you want me to ask him?" And I had some interesting questions. So the first one I want to know is, what's your favorite color, and then what's your favorite food?
Favorite color is purple, and my favorite food is, I think I'd have to go with pizza.
Hey, not a bad choice there. What's your top three sci-fi movies?
Top three sci-fi movies. Are we talking about actual good sci-fi movies or terrible good sci-fi movies?
I guess you can mix them up.
Mix them up. Okay, let's go with.
Give me the three best and three worst. I mean, there's that many out there to choose from, so.
All right, three best sci-fi movies. I've got to remember now. I've been watching lots of heaps of terrible movies on Netflix. I've got a 2-month-old baby, so baby needs rocking. I'll just sit there and rock it and watch some terrible Netflix. Best sci-fi movies. Oh,
Well, just
this
give me
is. See,
one.
You're asking me the real tough questions now.
Yeah, sure. Just give me one. Give me the best sci-fi movie you've ever seen so far in your life.
I think I would have to say the original Stargate movie.
Okay. All right. And the worst one.
The worst one, which is amazing, is Starship Troopers, without a doubt.
Good choice. I can see why you picked that. And this one's very controversial. I don't know if there's, I don't know what the reason is for this question, but is a hot dog a sandwich?
See, I've seen this question on Twitter, and I'm not sure. Is it a translation issue? Is there some difference between US English and Australian English? Because it seems to me a sandwich involves two pieces of bread, and a hot dog has one piece of bread. That seems to, unless there's something I'm missing about the difference in our definitions of sandwich, but it's a, I don't
The
think so.
hot dog bun, if you do it right, is one complete piece. There's no space. It's not two separate pieces, top and bottom. It's one piece. So
Exactly.
this is great. I'm talking about hot dogs and sandwiches, and we were supposed to be talking about WordPress. Let's see. Anything else?
Are the important issues.
Would you rather fight 100 duck-sized horses or one horse-sized duck?
I think I saw that question, and I think it was mentioning Duck, who is the username of one of our security researchers. And I'm not sure, not really sure I'd like to fight him. He's a bit of a tough guy.
Well, excellent. Well, now that I have you on here, is there anything else, any other topics you'd like to talk about, or at least you'd want our listeners to know?
Oh, topics I'd like to talk about. It's I mean, we could go for hours.
I'd rather not.
All right then. Well, perhaps we should wrap it up there, and maybe we can have a chat on the weekly some other time. Less about urgent security issues.
Yes, and by the way, you and anyone else on the core team whether it be the core security team or the core WordPress team, if, you know, I would, you guys all have an open invitation to come on the show. If there is something very important that you would like to spread the word to as many people as possible, especially if it's end user related, or we even have quite a few developers that listen to WordPress Weekly or that read the content on WPTavern.com, feel free to get in touch with me. I'll schedule something and, you know, spread the message, spread the love, because I'm not here to work or fight against the core team. I'm here to be a distributor of information and opinion. And if you guys want to get the right and good information out to the public, feel free to view me as a source, as a resource to get that information out there to the people who need to see it or hear it.
Cool, man. Thank you very much for the offer. I'm sure I'll come back and we can have a few more of these chats about whatever happens to be coming up at the time.
Yes, we shall. So, Gary, before I wrap it up here, how can people follow you, keep in touch with you via Twitter or whatever else?
All right. My Twitter is at Gary Pendergast, and my website is pento.net, P-E-N-T-O.net, and that has all the links to my various bits and pieces.
Excellent. And you can follow me on Twitter. That's JEFFR0. And of course, I'm a contributing writer to WPTavern.com. And that's going to wrap it up for this special interview with Gary. Gary, thanks again, man.
Thank you very much.